I've been preaching through a sermon series for the past several weeks now. And I was going to continue with that sermon series this week, as you can see in the bulletin, as 2 Corinthians and going on to perfection. Calling an audible today. I'm not going to be preaching on that. I'm preaching something else today, so never mind what's in the bulletin. I get this sense. I certainly have this sense in my heart for the past couple weeks, and I get the sense that it's been probably on your heart for the past couple weeks as well. And I looked at the lectionary text this week, and when I read through it, there was a text there from the book of Revelation, so I thought that would fit with this little detour that I'm going to take this week. This detour is going into an area that's can be a little bit uncomfortable for us. It can rattle us. It can shake us from time to time. It can shake the foundations. Today, I'm going to preach on primarily death, but also new life and new creation. About 10 days ago, I went out to visit my father-in-law in Emory. He's been battling cancer for quite some time now, and it has taken quite a toll on him. And he is he's very frail now. And he's tough, and he's a fighter. But he knows that his time is short, and death is near. This week, my Uncle Glenn passed away from Alzheimer's, same disease that took my mother and my Aunt Wilma, and their mother and my grandmother. Now the remaining sisters, Lucy and Clarice and Dorothy, nervously wonder if Alzheimer's will continue its trend. It's one of those things that kind of runs in families, so it you get a bit nervous, and sometimes I even think about that from time to time. I realize that pets are not human beings. I get that. Pets are pets. But even the loss of a pet can kind of shake things up a little bit, shake the foundations a bit. And I had my cat named Hudson for 15 years, who's sort of been through a time in my life that was kind of turmoil. Everything was turned upside down. Parents dying, wife dying, kids growing up, moving out, going on to college. But there's Hudson for 15 years. He's been kind of there through all that time, you know. And we sat down the other night about 10 days ago as well, and we watched a hockey game. He sat there with me in my chair for 3 hours. He's a diabetic. He had cancer. He was very frail. And the next morning, I had to take him in and have him put down. So, you know, that's how it is. Many of you could come up here and speak to the same thing. We all seem to be experiencing loss these days. People have even commented to me, it seems like every day or every few days, someone you know passes away. It just seems to be something that's kind of happening right now. You can't turn on the news anymore without a newscaster noting the passing of an actor or musician. We have like David Bowie and Merle Haggard and Prince this week. I was reading where the Rolling Stones and the Who and Bob Dylan and Neil Young and Paul McCartney are going to get together in October for one big final mega concert, because they know the long and winding road that they have been going down is winding to an end. Our scripture reading is from the book of Revelation today. Hear the word of the Lord, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, write this, for these words are to be trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. As I noted, it's been a busy time in my life over the past couple months. There's been a lot going on. Some of it has been great. Some of it has been not so great, not very pleasant. I know it's been a busy time for you all. Some of it's been good times. Some of it, not so good times. That's just how it is right now. I had my to-do list of things I needed to be doing on Friday, but I didn't do any of them. I looked out the window, and I saw a bunch of leaves out there in the patio. Dead leaves from all the hail that had knocked the leaves off the tree, a bunch of dead leaves out there. Pots were full of dead flowers. No signs of life out there. So I said, I'm going to plant some flowers today. So I just dropped everything I was doing. I got some flowers, raked up the dead leaves, at least on the patio there. Still have to get to the yard and all the other stuff, but that patio, I got it cleaned up, put some fresh flowers out there in the pot. It was kind of my way of saying, there's still some new creation going on here. I sat out there for a little bit and just enjoyed the sunshine and the flowers. But when it comes to creation and new creation, there are some things that we can do and there are some things that we cannot do. As human beings, we've conquered many things. We've made many inroads with medical technology and things like that. But the reality is, we will all die. That is the reality. Forrester Church said, religion is the human response to being alive and having to die. And there is a nugget of truth in that statement from him. This past session in our Covenant Bible study, we covered the book of Job. The book of Job is one of the most challenging books in the Bible. And there was a time in my life where it didn't make much sense. And the video presenter, her name was Amy Erickson, had the same reaction. Her initial thought to reading the book of Job was that Job's writings were just a bunch of pious BS. Just be blunt about it, that's what she said. Just pious BS we got going on here. But life is a good teacher. And Amy Erickson, myself, and all of you could read the book of Job now and say, you know, this isn't pious BS. This is kind of reality. Job had it right. He nailed it. And in the book, Job has an argument with God, basically, and asks God a few questions, and he wants some answers from God. He's calling God to account, and he wants God to appear and give him an answer to some of these questions that he has. And God does appear at the end of the book of Job, chapter 42. And Job answers the Lord when the Lord appears to him. And he says, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Job had heard many things about God. He had heard how God operates and things like that. His friends tell him about this is how God works in the world and things like that. But now he finds himself in the presence of God. And Job now realizes there are some things that are simply beyond words. We have our understanding of things shaped by what we have heard. People tell us things. Some of those things have nuggets of truth within them. But these nuggets of truth are often based on passages in Scripture. Much of the rapture theology is based on some nugget of truth that is found in Scripture, and there's a number of them. 1 Thessalonians, where Paul is talking, he says, for the Lord himself, with the cry of a command, with the archangels, and the call will sound God's trumpet and will descend from heaven, and the dead will in Christ will rise first. Then who are alive, who are left, will be caught up into the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. That's the Apostle Paul in one of his letters to the church in Thessalonica. Very familiar passage. The rapture passage, if you will, in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the godless. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and earth and everything that is done will be disclosed on there. Again, another passage from New Testament talking about consuming fire and everything's going to be burnt up and things of that nature. Perhaps a nugget of truth in there. But what we hear are nuggets of truth from folks, and sometimes are wrapped around speculations that are incomplete at best. In our reading of the book of Revelation today, the Apostle John is in a mystical vision, and he's brought into the presence of God, and in that vision, he not only hears, but like Job, he now sees things with his eyes. And John is commanded to write in a book what he sees. He writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." So what does that mean when he says the first heaven and the first earth have passed away? I'll kind of leave that hanging there for a little bit. I'm not going to answer that one right now, so we'll go on. John continues, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." Notice it doesn't say, John heard something about this new Jerusalem and it might be coming down someday and things like that. No, he says, "And I saw." He not only hears things, but he sees things as well. And he continues, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne." He hears this loud voice and it's saying something. And what does the voice say? The voice says, "See." It says, "See. Look with your eyes. Look with your eyes, John, and write down what you see." So he hears a loud voice, but the voice says, "Look and see. Look what you see. Write it down." So he sees that the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. There's that little phrase that pops up again. The first things have passed away. I'll just leave that hanging in the air again for a little while. He continues, and he said, "The one seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.'" So John not only hears, but he sees that the Lord God is making all things new. So what does this tell us? It tells us that there is a continuity between the old and the new. Was Jesus' life disconnected from heaven when he was here on earth? When the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, did he create some kind of disconnect between heaven and earth? He did not. If anything, he was reconnecting heaven and earth. That's what he was doing. And it will never be separated again. Heaven and earth is not going to be separated again. Jesus Christ assures us that there is a continuity between heaven and earth, between this life and the life to come. So when it says the first things have passed away, that does not mean that our lives in this world and the things that go on in this world are unimportant to God and simply vanish into thin air when our lives are over. They are so important, in fact, that he sent his only Son. Jesus came not only to bring salvation to humanity, but he brings salvation to all of creation. Everything is being renewed in him. So where does this leave us today, and where does this leave the Church of Jesus Christ? We are called to participate with God through the power of the Holy Spirit, as God brings about renewal of all creation. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, this renewal has already taken place. And we will never be able to bring about this renewal completely on our own. We cannot do it in ourselves. We don't have the ability to do that. But God initiates that, and it will be fully realized when the Lord comes again in glory. But what we do matters. The world matters to God, and it matters to us. And deep down, we know there is a continuity between heaven and earth. We know that our lives matter. We know the lives of those who have passed away matter. Because the Bible says that the old has passed away, but it does not mean that death has eternally separated us from our loved ones and from the love of God. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, hear it at weddings and things like that. It's really not, it fits nicely with weddings, but Paul was talking about some bigger things here. And he says it quite beautifully. He just says, love never ends. And that sums it up right there. The love of God does not end. It never ends. And that is that continuity that runs through all of our lives and connects us with God. And that love never ends. So what will pass away? What will pass away are the distortions of a fallen creation. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain and cancer and terrorism and broken relationships and on and on and on. Those things will be no more. For the first things have passed away. Those things will pass away. And in a community and a world where dead leaves and decay seem to surround us, things that are broken, this church can be a new sign of new creation. We can plant life in this community. And God calls us to do that. So today we will be taking a vote if we're going to be planting some seeds in the name of God in this community. And my prayer is that you will say, yes, we're going to plant some seeds in this community. We're going to look out there and we're going to see leaves and things like that, maybe some dead flowers, but we're going to plant some new flowers in this community. And it's going to be a signpost for God in this community. A signpost that says, heaven and earth are joined together, and God is renewing things, and he calls us to participate in that, and we have a role in that. And I think the church, over years and things like that, has forgotten that role. We're human beings. We forget that from time to time. But he reminds us, and he reminds us this day, that we are called to participate in his new creation. So I encourage you to do what you can. Simple things, doesn't matter. Plant those seeds. It's important. It's important to God. It's important to this community. It's important to this world. Because we can see what happens in a world that forgets about God and God's creation and God's call upon our lives. We can see where those things break down. There's a reason they break down. Because we simply do not acknowledge God and God's good creation, and we do not follow God's will. We do not do God's will. We can do that. As a called people, as a chosen people of God, we can plant those seeds. We can be people of hope in a world that needs hope. We can plant these flowers and put these signposts out there that says, there is life. And life is important. And it's important for all eternity. So I encourage you on this day, as it says in the Old Testament, choose life. It's very simple. Sometimes the Old Testament gets some things up too, like Paul. Love never ends. Well, they can say it in the Old Testament too. Choose life. Don't choose death. Pretty simple. So I encourage you today, choose life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.